What did we discuss previously?
Mileage is the same, the computer was installed. The material energy is real, but the form is different.
Good. Any other points?
Scholarship is important as a student loan.
Yes.
Scholarship is as important as a student loan.
What does that mean?
Like, college loss energy in person.
Any reference to what?
It was 10. We just discussed like how the, you mentioned that some people when they read lecture, they say there's no time in the spiritual world, but there is time. And it's discussed about Ashtaka and
Ashtaka. Any other points?
Material world is a major spiritual world.
Yeah, reflection.
Just my reflection.
For the, yeah.
This chapter clearly differentiated between Visakha and Sarga and Visakha. Right. This type of creation is Sarga. The three types of creation is
Yeah. What is the definition of the difference between Sarga and Visakha?
When Brahma starts to create, that is Visakha. Till then, it is Sarga.
When Vishnu creates.
Whatever the Mahavishnu creates is all
Sakti. And Gavadarshakti. Any other points?
Unless we as humans take our second birth from the spiritual master, our life as we need it, it's compared to animal life if we don't take second initiation.
What was that point in relation to?
Verse 26, other than verse 26.
Intelligent person should learn from others equally. Indradhamma Maharaj says that now I've got a second chance, so I should not waste time. So therefore, it's a good example for us to think about what we are doing today, how we are spending our
time. Cow Vishman described as a lower type of animal, but immediately after cow, in the process of evolution, the human form is attained by the living entity. Is that the right understanding?
It mentions there one enters the human form of life from either a cow, a lion, or a monkey. Yeah, and the cow represents the mode of goodness, the lion represents the mode of passion, and the monkey represents the mode of ignorance. So from those three species then you enter into the human form.
So the process of evolution, as far as the animal species are concerned, stops there, and thereafter the human form starts. From lion, one becomes human.
Yeah, one becomes a human from those three species. One moves up through the different species, and then one reaches those three. And then can go.
Same thing happened in reverse, coming back down.
Meaning?
That if the living entities
Well, it means that one will get, according to one's sinful reactions, then one will receive the particular body of that. So it's true, if someone is very passionate but animalistic, then he'll take like a passionate animal form, like some sort of cat or something like that. And if one is ignorant, then one will take some ignorant type of form, maybe a tree or something like that, accordingly.
In verse 26, Brahma creates human beings. In that Prabhupada mentions that, you know, human beings are very passionate. They stop the, you know, foodstuffs in the belly, like Annie mentioned, that birth doesn't have any stomach. And they only worry about the four things, you know, eating, waiting, sleeping.
Any other points?
Any animals have at least regulated sex, human beings have at any time. As a clarification to me, you made a statement last week saying that it's only human beings who can retain, but if animals hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they can't even retain. But if the same Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in Satya Yuga, that is the age when humans could talk to animals, animals also could talk to human beings. So then, would it apply to that situation as well?
Well, if they can talk to human beings, then they can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam.
So that's what was spoken in Satya Yuga. Anyone could talk to anyone.
So then, the classes may have been quite different.
Just an extension of
any questions from the baboons?
So, just on an extension of that point, I was reading Tavakathamrita Bindu on Srimad Bhagavatam. So there they were given a picture of a bull attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So in the ISKCON, basically in Orissa temple, Bhumeshwar, from the remembrance, there is a Srimad Bhagavatam Sutta which is held every year. And this bull comes and attends Srimad Bhagavatam class and attends very attentively for all the 7 days.
So then we understand that that's something like what happened to Bharat Maharaj. That particular living entity, he may be in the animal form, but his consciousness, he can remember. Then he's not like an ordinary animal. He's like what happened to Bharat Maharaj. He took birth as a deer, but he could hear what was taking place, and he could understand what was taking place, just like in a human. So sometimes you see exceptional animals like that. That means their consciousness is not like an animal. Their consciousness is like a human being. But they committed some offence. They have to take that into account.
Extending your point, like Prabhu mentioned about the bull, but you read the book of Dhyanandas Maharaj, Hansi Krishna Maharaj, he mentions a lot of animals are really insensitive to hear about devotees. They act specially, differently. They're small because.
So, the previous chapter, what was it called?
Divisions of the creation.
Divisions of the creation. Huh? So we heard about how the creation began to become manifested by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma began to manifest the creation. And when he began to create, the different species of life began to manifest at that point in time. And then what was discussed along with the manifestation of the different species of life was
the humans,
yeah, like that.
The humans, animals and trees and plants.
Yeah. But one of the important factors was the time element. There was various verses in the previous chapter mentioning about time. Our time, by its influence, everything becomes manifest within this material world, like that. So the creation takes place under the influence of the time shakti, the kala shakti, the time element, the energy of time. So tonight we'll begin chapter 11, and chapter 11 is all about
time.
So, Lord Brahma has created, and previous to Lord Brahma, in this Canto 3, we've been hearing about this saga. Saga means the
primary creation.
The primary creation, and then as the Canto progresses, then we hear about the visarga, which means
secondary creation.
And in order for both creations to take place, there is the requirement of Kala Shakti. Kala Shakti that was the glance of Mahavishnu, which began the creation in the first place, the saga. It took place under the influence of time. That's when the creation begins to manifest. And the secondary creation, we just heard, Lord Brahma beginning to create, it was also mentioned this is all facilitated by the Kala Shakti. the time element. Okay. So tonight in this chapter, then we hear what is the chapter called? Calculation of time from the atom. Okay. So we hear about how time begins to manifest in the Visarga, or the secondary creation, and then how time influences the entire universe. Right? Under the influence of time, the universe is created, it is maintained, and the universe is destroyed. This is all under the influence of the Kala Shakti, the time element. So tonight we'll begin to hear about the time element's manifestation and how it becomes divided. So beginning from the atom, the most smallest particle, then the largest universe, the largest part of the universe, then we'll hear about just the manifestation according to time. So this is a little technical in some ways, but it's quite interesting. Calculation of time from the atom. The material manifestations, ultimate particle, which is indivisible and not formed into a body, is called the atom. It exists always as an invisible identity, even after the dissolution of all forms. The material body is but a combination of such atoms, but it is misunderstood by the common man.
The atomic description of the Srimad Bhagavatam is almost the same as the modern science of atomism. And this is further described in the Paramanu Vada of Kanada. In modern science also, the atom is accepted as the ultimate indivisible particle of which the universe is composed. Srimad Bhagavatam is the full text of all descriptions of knowledge, including the theory of atomism. The atom is the minute, subtle form of eternal time.
Any points of interest here?
Is time the atom or atom the time?
Two separate things. They're not. Time is not the atom. Atom is not time.
So what is the composition of the atom?
Atom is made up of
neutrons, electrons,
neutrons, electrons, and
protons.
But atom is divisible.
What?
Atom is divisible.
Yeah, into protons, electrons, and neutrons.
So is there a separate atom for water, separate atom for air, separate atom for earth? Is that what you're saying?
At this point in time, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it says atom is indivisible, no?
Therefore, it is indivisible.
Well, it is divisible to atoms, here, divisible to neutrons. Like neutron fission means the neutrons come out of the atom separately.
Yeah, so then maybe it would mean that the what they call the neutron, then the Bhagavatam is maybe calling the atom. It's talking about the smallest particle. So maybe what they call the atom, maybe the Bhagavatam is that is calling. What's the smallest one called? The proton or the neutron or the electron? What's the smallest?
Electron.
Electron. So maybe the what they call the atom, maybe that's sort of what they call the electron, maybe the Bhagavatam calls it the atom.
Is
there
a jiva in the atom? Is it?
Jiva can be in the atom.
So does the atom die?
What's that conversation you're all having over there? Something you'd like to share?
I think...
No, wait, something is having an answer. What's it?
Does the atom die?
And the atom's a particle, like that. So it can be matter. It doesn't have to have a living entity in it.
Okay.
But it's a particle.
So living entity might just go in there and then disappear.
living entity can enter into the atom, or the atom may just be a particle of matter, like that. The super soul, Paramatma, is in the atom.
Regardless of whether you know this refers to atom or neutron, one fact is there that the scriptures have predicted things much before science has come out, even if they are talking about it. So old, we are talking about Srimad Bhagavatam millions of years back.
Mm.
Already it was known that there is a Paramanu, there is an atom, which science has only recently revealed. So.
Mm. And what science may call the electron or the smallest particle, which Prabhupada is writing here, atom. Because also when Prabhupada was writing this, then electrons and protons and neutrons are not being spoken about. So Prabhupada had written it now, he might have written electron or something.
And Prabhupada has also said that, you know, he said that English is not a perfect language to translate everything in Sanskrit.
Mm-hmm.
He mentions it. So there can be certain things which can just not be represented in English.
Yeah. An atom means something very small, atomic. So then we understand what Prabhupada is speaking about. He's speaking about the smallest material particle. So here he calls it the atom. Whether or not it's the atom as the scientists call it, but Prabhupada's talking about the smallest material particle. Maybe it's an electron or, but we know what Prabhupada's saying. Any other points?
Just the atom. The atom is the smallest atom where the quality of the element is maintained.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lowest level. To break it down, the element quality is not there anymore. Element means gold and silver, metal, any element. The smallest form is atom.
Mm.
To break it down, there's no quality anymore. That element quality is on there.
Mm.
So, in that level, the smallest
is the atom. Okay.
So is the atom the minor subtle form of time?
Is what?
The minor subtle form of time.
What?
The atom.
The atom is how we measure time. It's not time, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Atom means, just like here we have this table.
Mm-hmm.
So the table is made up of many atoms. Atoms means very, very tiny particles of matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what the table is made up. If we look under a microscope, it's made up of many, 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 many tiny particles of matter. All coming together, then we call it a table.
Yeah, but
so the atom is the matter, time is an element, it's a force.
Mm-hmm.
And we measure time, as will be explained in this chapter, we measure time against space. That's how we measure time. How do we understand? Like we say 1 year. So what does 1 year mean? 1 year means how long it takes Earth to travel around the sun. That's called 1 year. Right? So we measure time against space. Okay, that much space is covered. Then we call that time. We say 1 year. Right? 1 hour means the sun moved that much. That's 1 hour, like that. So that's how we calculate. Like that. So time against space, that's how we understand. So in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm saying the first measurement of time is against the atom. Against that very small particle, that's the first measurement of time. Like that. So this will be explained as the chapter is. Any other point?
Yes, yeah, later on it explains the Trinity, which is the smallest amount of calculable time, that is actually calculated from the atomic vibration.
Yeah.
And it's all subdivided all the time, because it's subdivided
automatically
down.
Yeah.
Even current definition of modern science for atom is number of vibration for cesium atom. They vibrate, so if they vibrate, I think something 10 to the power 9. When they have that kind of vibration, that time elapsed is called 1 second according to modern science.
So that's how they begin to calculate time from the atom. Any other points?
So that is what would be meant by the last line, yeah? The atom is the minute subtle form of eternity.
Yeah, it means it's the first measurement of time, the smallest. Division of time is measured from the atom of it. That's how it's being described.
Is the same point good for the spiritual time?
Same what?
The same definition of time. How to even just measure the time in terms of the atom. The same point is good for the spiritual time as well, is it?
Yeah, I mean, something. I don't know how it works up there. I don't know how it works. The sun comes up, and then when the sun goes down, then the day has passed. But I don't know what goes on up there. I don't know what goes on up there.
But there's no matter,
though.
There's no matter. So atom is actually matter, no?
Yeah. Yeah, time, it's something, but I don't know what the dynamic is. It's a force. And there is space there, spiritual space, but I'm not sure. Not sure. Exactly. We'll just stick to this. Any other points?
I think the essence of this is we should have faith in the scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah. So Prabhupada's first point in the first paragraph is that there are similarities between modern science, scientific knowledge, and the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam was written many, many thousands of years ago. And many of the points in the Bhagavatam are very similar to what is now being described in modern scientific understanding. So therefore, Prabhupada was, like I said a few weeks ago, that I'm reading TKG's diary at the moment, Prabhupada's final, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months when he was with us. And one of the main things Prabhupada was emphasizing in his final time with the devotees on earth, Prabhupada was emphasizing the need to establish a Bhakti Vedanta Institute for scientific research and to preach to the scientists. Because Prabhupada wanted to convince them, and by convincing them, he'd be able to convince many other people through the educational institutions of the world. So Prabhupada was emphasizing that. He said to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj and Sariputta Prabhu and the different scientific devotees, and he said, you prove, according to science, what is being taught in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Right? The way the Bhagavatam describes the way the universe is constructed. Like that. So you have to describe that and prove that according to modern scientific theory. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj has written many things, and Sariputta Prabhu has written some very good books, and different devotees. And in this way, they're trying to prove, according to modern scientific understanding, the authenticity of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures. Actually, they describe all these things originally. Because the Vedic literatures, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are the blueprint for God's creation. Everything which is described within creation has been described within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is the instruction manual of the creation of God. The Lord created this material world, and the Bhagavatam describes, the Vedic literatures describe, how He created the material world, how it is constructed, what it is made up of, what are the elements, how it works, like that. All these things are described by the Bhagavatam. Right? So the Bhagavatam is the absolute or ultimate authority on every subject matter, including the creation of the material world and the secondary creation of the material world. So the Bhagavatam is describing this. And Prabhupada's pointing out here in the first paragraph that modern science, many of the discoveries in modern science correlate or support the instructions which are given within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gives more authenticity to the Bhagavatam. And the more we study the Bhagavatam, the more we understand its logic and its correctness in describing the creation and all these different elements like that. And there seems to be some contradictions, because some of the parts of the Bhagavatam may seem apparently contradictory, then Prabhupada asked the members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, his scientific disciples, to explain or to try to reconcile those apparent contradictions. So some of the books, you'll see, like Sariputta Prabhu's books, he describes some of the things in the fifth canto, just like the way the universe is described according to the Bhagavatam, the way the universe is constructed, sounds a little different, or quite different, to the way we hear from modern science. So then he describes it in such a way to try to reconcile the two. like that. Because modern science will say, for example, there's no life on Mars. Whereas the Vedas say there is life on Mars. And there's life on every planet. The Vedas say there is life on the sun. Modern science say there's no life on the sun. So then, the ultimate authority is the Vedic literature, the Bhagavatam. And modern science is simply meant to support that finding, that understanding. Otherwise, it's unsuccessful. Otherwise, it has no benefit like that. But if it supports the Bhagavatam, then it becomes beneficial. Any points?
In Mayapur, that you are planning to based on what the Bhagavatam is trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, text 2. Atoms are the ultimate state of the manifest universe. When they stay in their own forms without forming different bodies, they are called the unlimited oneness. There are certainly different bodies in physical forms, but the atoms themselves form the complete manifestation. So everything we see is just a combination of atoms. Just like we say, okay, that's a bike, or that is a clock, or that is, but factually speaking, you know, we should say, you know, that is a bunch of atoms as a collection. That's all it is. Everything we see is just a collection of the atomic particles in different ways that manifest different forms. But if you break everything back down to its original state, like closer to its Pradhan state, then everything is just a group of atoms like that, and then everything becomes manifest once again. Everything can be broken down once again.
What does it mean when it says that it's the oneness?
Yeah, in the Prabhupada has written it like that. Oh no, he says Kaivalyam. Kaivalyam, Harama, Maharam, unlimited supreme oneness. When they stay in their own forms without forming different bodies, they are called the unlimited oneness.
Maybe they're saying these particles are same for any form, but how they combine, they make different. They make different.
Yeah, I like that. It means when they're all broken back down into the original state of atoms, then they're just like, it's like a oneness, so it's like an impersonal situation.
They're same.
Same, yeah. Because there's no manifestation of form.
Is mind, intellect, and false ego made up of certain atoms?
I'm not sure. But that's a very technical question. I've never heard that question asked. I'm not sure.
What was the question?
You can repeat.
Is mind, intelligence, and false ego made up of certain atoms?
Maybe someone, yeah. You'd have to ask, you know, someone like Sataputta Prabhu. So it's a very technical question. Any other points?
What did you just mention? Pradhan is made up of atoms,
meaning that, yeah, because atoms means the false form. So all those atoms, when the forms become broken apart and everything just becomes atomic once again, and when it all merges back, it goes back into Pradhan. So Pradhan is ultimately just atoms like that, just all broken down. All the elements are broken. Like Earth is there in Pradhan, but the Earth is not, the atoms of Earth are not forming or manifesting like that. So it goes right back to the atomic situation.
So that means it's atomic situation in terms of matter, or it must settle the atomic forms? Or
yeah,
actual matter? Because Pradhan is, we had discussed it spiritual, no? So
originally it's spiritual, but then it becomes, Pradhan means it's touched with the mode of ignorance. It's Brahman, which is mixed with the mode of ignorance. The modes of nature, modes of nature are present in Pradhan. Like that. So, you know, the atoms would be there in Pradhan. That's what I was saying, because atom means like a oneness, as it's being said here. So it goes back into Pradhan, which is like a oneness, like that. But then everything's not manifesting at that point in time. So it's very scientific questions. So Prabhupada himself said, in his final instructions, he said, I cannot explain these things according to scientific terms, because I'm not a scientist. Prabhupada said that. So he said to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj on the other side, he said, you describe what I am saying in scientific terms, so it makes sense to scientific people. So I don't understand science, so I can only give like a simple understanding. But if you want technical understanding, you have to ask, you know, Sataputra or something. Any other points?
I was hearing one lecture called Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. In that, there was an interesting point the devotee makes. He says that originally there was only the Vedas, but gradually, I think the philosophy got split into what the Western world, the English speaking countries, they had a philosophy. Then we had Vedic knowledge prevalent in India. We had Islamic knowledge moving in another direction, and then we had Chinese moving in one direction. And you are saying that it's mainly because the Westerners, the Western community pushed this kind of a philosophy into the education system, and that's why we more aggressively than what the others did and formalized it. That's the reason why today there is more of Western education that is taught in universities and not Vedic science.
Okay. One can estimate time by measuring the movement of the atomic combination of bodies. Time is the potency of the almighty personality of Godhead, Hari, who controls all physical movement, although he is not visible in the physical world. So here the Bhagavatam says that time can be measured by measuring the movement of atomic combination of bodies. So when you see an object move, then according to the distance it moves and how long it takes to move them, we say that is time. So this is how it begins to become measured. Time becomes measured against space.
The scientists say that that's just like effect, the cause. That actually, you know, the material nature is just propelled along. There's no kind of anti-material force there. It's just a combination.
Yeah, so they don't understand there's a time element of that. They don't understand. They don't understand the subtle creation.
They seem to be taking almost like the opposite.
Yeah. Atomic time is measured according to its covering a particular atomic space. That time which covers the unmanifest aggregate of atoms is called the great time. Hari Priya, you like to read that?
Time is basically coordinated terms. Time is measured in terms of its covering a certain space of atoms. Standard time is calculated in terms of the movement of the sun. The time covered by the sun in passing over an atom is calculated as atomic time. The greatest time of all covers the entire existence of the non-real manifestation. All the planets rotate and cover space, and space is calculated in terms of atoms. Each planet has its particular orbit for rotating, in which it moves without deviation. And similarly, the sun has its orbit. The complete calculation of the time of creation, maintenance and dissolution, measured in terms of circulation of the total planetary system until the end of creation is known as supreme kala.
So what are the points here?
Non-dual manifestation in spiritual world.
In the verse?
It says that the greatest time of all covers the entire existence of the non-dual manifestation.
Where is it?
It's on the 462 on the top of the first whole sentence. The greatest time of all covers the entire existence of non-dual manifestation. Non-dual means spiritual because this is world of duality.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out what it means. The entire existence of the non-dual manifestation. terms of atoms. Module. Mm. Oh, the unmanifest aggregate of atoms. Avishesha Bhu, passing through the non-dual exhibition of the entire aggregate.
Are they talking about the spiritual time or
material time? I think it's
talking about
material time. No, I think in this chapter it's speaking about the manifest world. Yeah, I can understand. But I can't understand the way Prabhupada wrote it. Why I said non-dual. To me, just reading it and reading the verse and reading the purport, it's just it's talking about the entire universe. Why Prabhupada said non-dual, I'm not sure. But it seems like it's just talking about like the greatest measurement of time in the material world. That's what the subject is.
So I think Prabhupada is measuring to non-dual because in the earlier context he's saying that everything is non-dual from the atomic point of view, that everything is atom. He uses
oneness.
Similar
oneness.
I think that's why he's saying that non-dual problem.
Yeah, so maybe he's talking about the sum total of all atoms. He's definitely what he's talking about is the entire universe, the time of the universe. That's what he's talking about. So how he says that, maybe he's talking about all the atoms together, like you said, that oneness, that one, like that. Something
before,
like that.
Before they become differentiated.
No, when they're differentiated. But if you just look at everything as just being atoms, he's just talking about the entire atomic structure of the universe. But time is only being measured now because the universe is manifest. It's just a technical point. So. Any other points?
Oh, I have a question. Is there any time constraint in the spiritual world?
No.
So
go on the internet and listen to Monday night's class.
Okay.
We explained it a great length. Okay. Any other points?
The supreme kala which Prabhupada is mentioning is only possible to perceive the supreme kala when one is outside the realm of the material world. Because if one is inside the realms of the material world, one cannot perceive the supreme kala. Simply because it also includes dissolution time. So therefore, you know, it may have the context of spiritual time as well.
Maybe. So what's being spoken of in this verse, the last two verses, is the different types of time within this universe. Meaning that the smallest amount of time is the vibration of the atom. When the atom vibrates or moves, or if you saw one atom move, that movement of the atom is the smallest element of time, smallest measurement of time. And the greatest measurement of time, right, is Lord Brahma's lifetime. Lord Brahma's time, right, which is 100 years of his time. Right, which is even compared to the demigods. Even the demigods, their time is so much more insignificant compared to Brahma's time. So it's all relative. Right? And Prabhupada points this out in this chapter. Time is the same. It's not a different time which is working for the atom, which is working for Lord Brahma. It's the same. But when you measure it against a certain element, material element, then we'll say, well, that's a short amount of time. That's a long period of time. It's the same time. But according to which place in the universe you're on, time will affect you differently. Yeah? Because the bodies become different in different parts of the universe. Right? And then because the atomic structure and so forth is different in different places of the universe, then time seems to be affecting everyone quite differently.
14 planetary divisions too. Lord Brahma has to create 14 planetary divisions.
Yeah.
And then each of those planetary divisions they have different time factors.
Yeah, each planetary division has a different type of time span. Like that. So, it is the one time element, but according to the movements of the atoms in the different places in the universe, then time is broken down differently. So you'll see in Lord Brahma's planet, a very vast amount of time. Yeah? Because the nature of the elements and so forth are different there. Everyone has a subtle body, no one has a gross body. Right, and the elements' time will work differently on that type of, in that type of environment. But when you bring time down, it begins like on our planet, it works quite differently because our bodies are made up of different atomic structures and so forth. So therefore our time is quite different. And then if you look at, you know, very small, like an atom or on the atomic particle, and you'll see like atomic creatures, like little microbes and so forth, they just live for a few seconds. But for them that could be 100 years. Like that. Everything that takes place in that time. Like that. But for us it's like insignificant because it's only very small dimension. But on the much larger dimensions, like in Lord Brahma's realm, then everything works on a much grander scale. Like that, time acts differently. So it's the same time element, but it's working differently according to the different places in the universe, the way the universe is created, the atoms and so forth.
So when we say that the movement of atom is called as time, so time in terms of creation, like time was always present and that, and then atom got created, and then the movement of atom gives us the measurement of time. It's that time was existing, but time is measured in terms of the movement of atom. Or
that's the point.
Or atoms came first and then time was created.
No, time was there first. Then time enters the universe, and when things become created, then according to the level of the creation and what is used in the creation and the amount of atoms and the type of structure, then we measure time. Like that. So on an atomic particle, then, you know, because it's such a small movement, then we say, okay, that's one truti, or one very small fragment of time. But that could be a long time down on that level. But up on our level, that's a very insignificant amount of time. And on Brahma's level, when Brahma looks down on us, you know, it just looks like very insignificant, just like all taking place. Because everything is created differently and the structures are different. So it's much more subtle as you get higher as well. The modes are different and so on.
Because in the translation, the second part, that time which covers the unmanifested aggregate of atoms is called the great time.
Mm.
So, is it talking about the spiritual world then?
No, talking about Lord Brahma's lifetime.
But Brahma's
this chapter is speaking about the material creation. So it's not about the spiritual world. That's all.
Right. So in Brahma Loka, you mean the atoms are not manifested?
Well, it's hard to explain it because I'm not a scientist, and it's more subtle there. So somehow there's a different effect of time there. Time is the same, but it affects everyone differently. It's hard to visualize. I'm trying to understand it the best I can. According to as well as I can understand what's being spoken here, I'm explaining it to you as much as I understand it. Like Prabhupada said, he said, I cannot explain these things in scientific terms. So Prabhupada said to his disciples who were scientists, he said, you explain it. Because this is science we're speaking about here. So I can only explain it from it to a certain degree. It may not be satisfying or it may not be comprehensive enough, but that's as far as I can explain it. Okay. The division of gross time is calculated as follows. Two atoms make one double atom, and three double atoms make one hexatom. This hexatom is visible in the sunshine, which enters through the holes of a window screen. One can clearly see that the hexatom goes upwards towards the sky. Ananda Balabhavu.
The atom is described as an invisible particle, but when six such atoms combine together, they are called a tesseract, and this is visible in the sunshine pouring through the holes of a window screen.
Hmm. So you may see sometimes when the sun shines into the room, you may see like small little particles like that. Yeah. So that is the tesseract. It means six atomic particles have combined. So it means that the atom itself is very small, very difficult to see. You may get some like small, tiny particle you may perceive, some, a little bit of sunshine may catch that, but an actual atom itself is very it's invisible, actually, just through our standard vision.
We have got a gentleman here,
yes,
from Atomic Energy Commission, from Bombay.
Which one?
He, Shri Bhagwan. He can tell us what is this prashar.
Maybe you can explain this chapter. If you have any realizations, please explain it to us.
I think I'm thinking about that some scientists explaining that there are no life on the other planets. But I, as far as I understand, that scientists are not able to see life on the other planet. So that's why they are not saying that there are no life on another planet. If they find during the time some technical or some technical systems, then they prove, oh, there is some life.
The time duration needed for the integration of three trusarena was is called a truti. And 100 trutis makes one veta. Three vetas make one lava. Okay. Lila Mai, you like to read?
It is calculated that if a second is divided into 1,687.5 parts, each part is the duration of a truti, which is the time occupied in the integration of 18 atomic particles. Such a combination of atoms into different bodies creates the calculation of material time. The sun is the central point for calculating all different durations.
Mm. What are the points here?
But in text 4, it says that the standard is to measure by the sun.
Mm.
But the total creation and maintenance and dissolution is measured in terms of calculation of the total planetary system, not only sun. So
means the whole universe, all the planets, because the sun orbits in the universe, but Brahma's planet is outside of the orbit of the sun. The sun, to say, like, say that's the universe,
yeah,
like that. So the sun's moving around a part of the universe, but it doesn't go past Lord Brahma's planet. The sun doesn't go all the way to the top of the universe.
Okay.
It doesn't travel through all 14 planetary systems.
Okay.
It only travels, like, through a certain amount of the universe.
Okay.
So therefore, what Prabhupada's talking about is, like, the there's more of the universe than just where the sun travels. The universe is bigger.
Like that.
We might explain this in the next few weeks or months, something about the way the universe is structured.
So how would there get light for the sun doesn't travel? Sunlight, how would they get light? Or they
the sun may not go with the light of the sun travels. The light of the sun can travel. Like the sun itself, the sun ball, does not go all around the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But its light travels. But there are some places in the universe where the sun's light does not touch. Because it's a very big universe, so like that. It's like in the lower parts of the universe, it describes that the nagas, the snakes, have jewels on the hoods, and the jewels give off the light because the sun doesn't reach there, the light doesn't reach there. So there's different arrangements in different parts of the universe.
So Prabhu, it says the sun moves around the universe, because in science we have heard the sun is, and the planets move around the sun.
Yeah, it moves around the universe. The sun moves, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In modern science, they say the sun is fixed.
Mm.
Not in the Bhagavatam, the pole star is fixed. Mm. Like that. This is explained in Canto 5. The pole star is fixed, and all the other planets are moving around the pole star. But in modern science, they say the sun is fixed, but the sun is not fixed. The sun moves.
Mount Meru.
Like that.
Sun is moving around Mount Meru.
Yeah. And the pole star, that particular star, Dhruvaloka, that's the fixed one. Just like they have it, what's it called? The North Star?
Pole Star.
The Pole Star? It's called the North Star or
something?
Yeah, so they know which star it is, like that. And it's always there. That's why they're using the sailing and so forth. Yeah, they do their navigation according to that star, because it never moves. So that's the star that's fixed, and all the rest of the universe moves around that star.
A lot of those sailors originally navigated from like areas like Scandinavia up north. You know, you can even see on this planet where there's periods of time where it might be daylight, maybe 7 days of months, instead of night time. We'll see where there's no night time for months. That's why they use that kind of
navigation.
Yeah, navigation.
Is polar star same as ruby star?
Same as what?
Polar star is same as ruby star.
Yeah, it's where Druga lives. He remember he wanted the planet greater than Lord Brahma's? So that's what he got. Polestar, Dhruv, Loka. And the rest of the universe goes around that. Subscribe later in the Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Where are we up to? Which one?
The duration of time.
We just read 7? We're up to 7. Is it? The duration of time at 3 lovers is equal to 1 nimesha. The combination of 3 nimeshas makes 1 kshana. 5 kshanas combined together make 1 kashta. And 15 kashtas make 1 laku. So you'll need to remember this for your exam. Just the measurements. Make sure you get them in the right order. And the measurements must be exact. Okay, so by calculation it is found that 1 laku is equal to 2 minutes. The atomic calculation of time in terms of Vedic wisdom may be converted into present time with this understanding. So we divide our day up into minutes. Right? We say hours, minutes, seconds. That's our modern time system. So according to Vedic time, it is also accurate. Because in Vedic time they have a division of 120 seconds, which in our time is called 2 minutes. Like that. So that in Vedic time that is called a? A laku. Laku means when you get 2 minutes. Like that. So we just in Vedic times they had different names for the time, and they may not have had an hour. 1 muhurta is 48 minutes. 1 muhurta. So back in the old days in Vedic times they didn't say 24 hours. They would have said so many muhurtas like that, or so many lakus like that. Whereas we say minutes, they would have said laku. Yeah, a couple of lakus.
Over here they say 60 minutes. Well, did they say here
60 minutes?
Yeah, we can count 15 lakus make 1 nadika. So 15 times 2 is 30. Then also called danda. 2 danda means 2 times 15. 30 minutes, 2 times 30 minutes make 1 mukhota, that's 1 hour.
Yeah, Prabhupada's in the next right. He gives the division a little bit further up. 1 danda is 30 minutes, yeah, so 2 dandas, muhurta. I always thought a muhurta was 48 minutes. But according to this, it would be 60, so I'm not sure.
I think it was Kangeshwar was telling me that muhurtas have changed, that like the time, that depending on the time of the year, like if they're longer.
Some division, yeah. I always thought a muhurta was 48 minutes, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes. That's what we consider it in the whole as well.
Yeah, I always thought, yeah, 48 minutes is my understanding, but according to what Prabhupada says here, it would be 1 hour. That would be 1 muhurta, well, I'm not sure.
The spiritual time that you described in the last class
was
made up of 48 units or 48 minutes.
Yeah. And that's what my understanding always was. But Prabhupada's saying something different here, so I'm not sure. Okay. 15 lakus make 1 nadika, which is also called a danda. 2 dandas make 1 muhurta. And 6 or 7 dandas make 1/4 of a day or night, according to human calculation. The measuring pot for one nadika or danda can be prepared with a 6 pala weight, 14 ounce pot of copper, in which a hole is bored with a gold probe weighing 4 marsha and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called 1 danda. These days we just have a watch. But in the old days then they would have different ways to measure the time. Okay. So, please read the purport of that joke, Jamuna.
It is advised herein that the bowl in the copper measuring pot must be made with a probe weighing not more than 4 masa and measuring not longer than 4 fingers. This regulates the diameter of the hole. The pot is submerged in water and the overflooding time is called the danda. This is another way of measuring the duration of a danda, just as time is measured by sand in a glass. It appears that in the days of Vedic civilization, there was no dearth of knowledge in physics, chemistry or higher mathematics. Measurements were calculated in different ways as simply as could be done.
So any points here?
Vedic civilization was more advanced than current civilization.
In what way?
Because they had much more knowledge and much more measurements in their shape.
No,
so today's science is more of a speculative and trying to reinvent and still trying to find out what is there, but how the government explained thousands of years ago.
The way they measured it is the simplest way, so they tried to simplify the things as much as possible instead of making it complicated.
It says like it cannot be 60 minutes long because it says that 2 dandas make 1 muhurta and 6 or 7 dandas make 1/4 of a day. So if you say like 1/4 of a day,
it's 3
hours. Well, or day or night, so 12 divided by 3.
You guys work it out.
I work it out.
You work it out.
3 hours.
Any other points?
So
don't worry. Hey, don't work it out. Don't work it out here. Work it out after class. I'm trying to teach something.
We have CTS system, MKS system, FCS system, so we can also add a VCS system, Yogi system.
What about the GPC system?
It's called the FPS or foot pound second system, or the MKS meter kilogram second system, or the centimeter. So similarly, we can add to that a Vedic system.
ICS is constant
time. Okay. You guys all get together out of class and
we are scared of Mata
So there are many ways to calculate time. And we see in the Vedic times even there were many ways. They would measure the way the shadow would move. Right, when the shadow would move a certain sundial like that. You'll see if you go to Jaipur in India.
Even in Delhi, there is a place called Jantar Mantar sometimes.
Like that.
The sundial.
Yeah. And in Jaipur, they have very advanced astronomical systems there. And you can measure the way the shadow moves. They can measure all the time elements exactly. If you understand, which, like it says here, the Bhagavad Gita is a very elaborate way to measure time. But you need a copper pot, you weigh a particular way, you get the gold, you have 4 fingers like that, measure it in a particular way, and then time will be measured very perfectly. So in the ancient ways, they'd have hour glasses when the sand would go through. Even in the old days, in the Western world, the miners would go down into the mines all day. And it's very dangerous in the old days because not like today where they have electronic like that. Back then, everything would be done by hand. They had to pull the men up and pull them down. So they go down and they would have a wax candle And the candle, they'd measure the candle, they made it a certain thickness. In that, down under the ground where there's not so much oxygen, 1 inch would burn every hour. So they wouldn't know how, because they couldn't see their watch and all that, so they'd be down underground all day. And when the candle would burn 10 inches, they'd understand, okay, that's one day of work, now it's time to go back up. You know, so there's different ways that man has worked out how to measure time. And the Bhagavad Gita gives the original examples to understand how to measure time. These days we just have a watch. So this is a very advanced. Prabhupada points out that modern science has become very advanced in manipulating the material elements. Very advanced. With that. So they can do things in a very advanced fashion now. You know, we can send things like, you know, you can be there and I can be here and I can just go, and then you can know what I'm saying. You know, that's like reading someone's mind almost. It's like subtle thought waves. We can't see how the message gets passed. But through very subtle manipulation of elements, modern science is able to do things which previously you could only do if you had mystic powers. Like that. So gradually they're learning to do these things. Okay. It is calculated that there are 4 praharas, which are also called yamas. In the day and four in the night of the human being. Similarly, 15 days and nights are a fortnight, and there are 2 fortnights, white and black, in a month. The aggregate of 2 fortnights is 1 month, and that period is 1 complete day and night for the Pita planets. 2 of such months comprise 1 season, and 6 months comprise 1 complete movement of the sun from the south to north. So the sun comes down, and it's orbit. It takes like a lower, how'd you say it, like an orbit or a lower pattern. Sun goes towards the north. Okay.
Trajectory.
Yeah, goes down. Upright towards the south, and then it tracks towards the north in its travel as it goes around the universe like that. So according to where the sun is travelling, then it will have a different effect on Earth in terms of the lengths of the days and so forth like that. So they measure all of these things like that, and this is how we understand how long is 1 month, how long is 1 year, like that, all based on the movement of the sun and the moon.
This is what we call Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. Uttarayanam is considered to be an auspicious time when Krishna very wanted to pass.
Krishna mentions in the Gita that the yogis will only leave when the sun enters its
northern
course.
That's why daytime.
Means?
During the
daytime.
When the demigods are awake. Must be the daytime of the demigods. Because the second part of the year, after the solstice which we just had, now the sun is, the day is becoming longer. The sun is going towards its other course, the southern course. So now, during this time, Chaturmas comes, and then demigods go to sleep.
In Vedanta Sutra, it was written that during the light, it means that the devatas of light, they come and they enlighten, they make a light in the heart, so the soul can see which way to go. There are the arteries which they can lift the body, and they light the path for going. So it's that's the explanation of the light.
Yeah, and also if you think about it, it's during their daytime, that northern track of the sun. Right? Because the demigods sleep during the Chaturmasya, which is in the opposite, which is just about to come now. Okay. When the sun is going in the southern course.
Can we say the time is the energy that moves the planets?
Yeah. Okay. 2 solar movements, is this where I'm up to? 12?
Good.
2 solar movements make 1 day and night of the demigods. And that combination of day and night is 1 complete calendar year for the human being. The human being has a duration of life of 100 years, if you're lucky. Influential stars, planets, luminaries, and atoms all over the universe are rotating in their respective orbits under the direction of the Supreme, represented by eternal Kala. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Sun is the eye of the Supreme Lord and it rotates in a particular orbit of time. Similarly, beginning from the Sun down to the atom, all bodies are under the influence of the Kala Chakra, or the orbit of the eternal time, and each of them has a scheduled orbital time of one samvatsara. So that's how we measure time. How the Sun moves, how the Moon moves, then we call that? Call that what? Time. That's how we measure. Like that. How do we measure time? Otherwise time just goes, just an energy that keeps going. But how do we measure it? We say, okay, the Sun moved that much. Right? So the Sun in one day, right? The Earth turns, we say the Earth turns in one day, like that. So as it goes around, when it turns fully, we say that is one day. Like that. And as the Sun is moving, then we say that is one month. Right? And as the Moon waxes and wanes, we say that is one fortnight or one like that. So according to the lunar bodies, that's how we measure time. Okay. There are five different names for the orbits of the Sun, Moon, stars and luminaries in the firmament, and they each have their own samvatsara. Such a cipher book, you like to read that purple? This is a good one.
The subject matter of physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, time and space dealt with the above verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are certainly very interesting to students of particular subject. But as far as we are concerned, we cannot explain them very thoroughly in terms of technical knowledge. The subject is summarized by the statement that above all the different branches of the knowledge is the supreme control of Kala, the planetary representation of supreme personality of Godhead. Nothing exists without him, and therefore everything, however wonderful it may be, appear to our mere knowledge, is but the work of the magical wand of the Supreme Lord. As far as the time concerned, we beg to subjoin here with a table of the timings in terms of the modern clock.
Yes.
One truti equal to 8/13,500 seconds. One veda equal to 8/135 seconds. One lava is 8/45 seconds. One nimesha equal to 8/15 seconds. One kshana equal to 8/5 seconds. One kasta equal to 8 seconds, one lagu equal to 2 minutes, one danda is 30 minutes, one prahara is 3 hours, one day is 12 hours, one night is 12 hours, and one paksha is 15 days.
2 hours.
Paka.
two pakshas comprise 1 month, and 12 months comprise 1 calendar year, or 1 full orbit of the sun. A human being is expected to live up to 100 years. That is the way of controlling the measure of eternal time. In Brahma Samhita, 5.52 affirms this control in this way. Yakchakshur esa savita
sankala grahanam raja samasta sulamurti asesha teja yasya jaya brahmati samvritakara chakro govindamari purusham tamaham dashami.
I worship Govinda, the primal Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light.
Very good. Any points of interest there?
No concept of a week. There's no mention of the concept of a week. Is it totally Christian thing, this week
concept? No, it's Vedic. Because there's a concept of 15 days. Okay. So
the week is not Vedic.
Yeah, it's a Vedic concept because Monday is the moon, Tuesday is Mars, Wednesday is Mercury, Thursday is Jupiter, Friday is Venus, Saturday is Saturn, and Sunday is the Sun. That's Vedic. It's not a Christian or a Roman calculation, it's a Vedic calculation. It's written off in the Vedas, in the Jyotish Shastra, in the that part of the Vedic literature that mentions these seven divisions of a week. And then it repeats and repeats. So it's there. It's not a Western concept. It's a Vedic concept.
The natural Pluto is on there.
What's that?
Neptune, Pluto.
Natural.
The other planets, no? Neptune, Pluto.
Yeah.
Other planets are there.
Yeah, not mentioned like it is in the Vedic. Like that. They recognize Neptune and Pluto, but they're not given the same significance as they mentioned here. So it's there. It's not a Vedic thing, but. But yeah, it's not mentioned here, for whatever reason.
So the five human names for the orbits, they are given in the Bhagavad
Gita. Prabhupada doesn't mention what that is. I'm not sure. Any other points?
How was Adhikama generated based on this calculation? Any idea, sir?
How was what?
Adhikamas.
Purushottamas.
Adhikamas.
Because based on the 12 lunar. That's how. Because there's two Vedic calculations. One is the lunar calculation, one is the solar calculation. So for the sun's orbit, it takes 365 and a quarter days. Like that. But for the moon's. For the moon to wax and wane takes 28 days.
But here it's staying 15 days. Paksha is saying 15 days.
15 days, but then that's the solar calculation, not the lunar calculation.
Waxing and waning moon is referred to Paksha, mm-hmm. Krishna Paksha and Shukla Paksha.
Yeah.
I thought it's 14 days, but here Prabhupada is making 15 days. So I was wondering how it
happens. No, yeah, but the this Paksha is not based on. Okay, so then the other way of possibly looking at it is that Paksha is based on the time measurement given from the atom, which is then multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, then you get the 2 minute division, and then you get the, like that, the division. So if you add it all up, then it will come to the 15 days as opposed to the 14 days. So it's something like the solar calculation, which is the amount of time it takes for the sun to orbit is 365 days or 1 year. But then the moon has the 14-day cycle, which takes 28 days. So then when that finishes the 28 days over 12 months, the 12 months, then there's a difference, yeah, between the solar and the lunar year. So then the Purushottama mass reconciles that difference over a four-year period.
3 years or 4 years?
3 years or four. 3 years then, right? I think it's the fourth year that they added, isn't it? It's not going to be 3 years, is it?
3 years.
Is it going to be 3 years? Purushottamas? Is it?
Yeah,
Purushottamas. I felt like it was 4 years. Didn't feel like it was coming. So then maybe by the end of the third year, they have the difference, so then that reconciles the difference. Like that, so.
Based on all these calculations, is it possible to derive somewhere that the moon is farther away than the sun, which was one of the
premises of Prabhupada. Sada Puttaprabhu addresses this point. Sada Puttaprabhu, he addresses this point. He wrote one book called Vedic Cosmology. Have you seen that book?
Yeah, I've seen that
book. Yeah, so if you read that book, that's about the fifth canto of the Bhagavad Gita. He addresses this particular issue in that book. Prabhupada asked the Bhaktivedanta Institute to reconcile these things. I could explain it to you, but you wouldn't understand it. Very technical. I don't know. It's very technical, like that. But if you read that book, then you'll get some understanding, like that.
So has he also concluded that the moon is farther away than the sun?
The Bhagavatam describes different like dimensions. And another thing you have to understand, from where Lord Brahma is, like at the top of the universe, just like if you go up a tree and you're at the top of the tree and you look down, your vision is very different to someone who is at the bottom of the tree or someone who is halfway up the tree. So similarly, when the Bhagavatam describes, I think one way he reconciles some of the apparent contradictions, the Bhagavatam in one place may be describing from a certain vantage point, from another place from a different vantage point. So then you get apparently different understandings like that. So then it becomes quite confusing. So Sataputta Prabhu tries to reconcile these different things. So the sun and the moon may appear, one may be close or different according to where you are in the universe and things like this. Like that. So it's very technical. I think he tries to reconcile, it's very technical. I'm not an expert in that kind of subject. But if you read his book, it does make some sense. Okay.
I heard they understand that the moon is the closest to the earth.
That's our understanding on earth. But the Bhagavatam mentions that it is further away than the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's hard to understand these things. Okay, so. Okay, so we'll read one more verse, 15, and that will be all for tonight. So you see in that purport there is 12 different divisions of time, so please memorize them. No, it's just tricky. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can't. O Vidura, the sun enlivens all living entities with his unlimited heat and light. He diminishes the duration of life of all living entities in order to release them from the illusion of material attachment. And he enlarges the path of elevation to the heavenly kingdom. He thus moves in the firmament with great velocity. And therefore everyone should offer him respects once every 5 years with all ingredients of worship. Okay.
Why so, every 5 years?
I don't know. It says this in the Bhagavatam. Okay, so on Monday night we may finish the chapter. I'm not sure. We may finish the chapter.
What do you think?
It's not connected to Krishna. Then you're in mine. Every other chapter in the Bhagavatam is connected to Krishna except this one. Srila Prabhupada ki.